Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak, clearly, that you'd speak words that would strengthen us, words that would encourage us, words that would build us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at this Hall of Fame, these characters. We've looked at Abel, who believed God's word, Enoch, who walked with God, Noah, who obeyed God, building a boat in the middle of the desert, Abraham, who all of his life was a man who acted on faith rather than the circumstances around him, but chose to believe and to trust in God, Moses, who served God, giving up the role of a prince in order that he might do the will of God and lead God's people back to the land of their roots. Faith in God is always doing what God has told us to do. Faith in God always involves obeying the word and the commands of God. Someone has written this commentary on these words and said, every man lives his life either believing in what God says and basing his life on it, or on betting his life on his own attitudes, his own intellect, and his own understanding. Those are the only options. The faith that is talked about in this chapter is the faith that takes the bare word of God and acts on it simply because it is the word of God, no other reason. True faith doesn't need to ask questions. It is believing what God said simply because he's God and he said it. Often, to believe God is to do that which is unreasonable, illogical, and different than the world would dictate. Yet faith willingly obeys. So we've been seeing these weeks that faith always involves obeying God, but faith also always involves courage. It involves us knowing who God is. And because we know who God is and we know the greatness of the God we love and follow and the goodness of the God we love and follow, we're able to trust God. We're able to believe in God. We're able to stick the course with God to the very end. We're able to have the courage to go wherever God asks us to go and to do whatever it is God asks us to do. We find the courage to let God's word determine and shape how we live our lives, whether it's our family life or our financial life or our sexual life or whatever aspect of life it happens to be. We bring every aspect of life and we live it courageously for God, a life of faith. We find the courage to go on being filled with God's Holy Spirit so that we can be equipped to be the people God wants us to become. There's three little thoughts this morning. The first is the longest one. Okay, so again, don't panic. The first will be a little bit longer. In fact, a lot longer than the other two. The first is, we find in the verses we're looking at this morning that these men and women found courage to overcome. They found courage to overcome and to conquer, to have victory in the middle of what was real struggles for them. First of all, there's the children of Israel needing to cross the Jordan and to take the city of Jericho. We read in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Now, friends, these were real walls. They were pretty strong walls because they were so thick, actually, that two horse-drawn chariots could ride side by side on top of these walls. These weren't your 6x9 cement blocks that you could push over or knock over. These were really wide, strong walls that allowed, they were literally the breadth of a road thick. These walls surrounded Jericho. And Jericho was the first city that the children of Israel had to conquer in order to be able to enter into the promised land. 40 years earlier, the stories had come back about there were giants in the land, and you'll remember the story probably how the stories meant that there were only Joshua and Caleb who were willing to, at that time, cross the land, and the others became scared, and as a result, because they didn't have the faith, they wandered around for another 40 years in the wilderness. Now 40 years have passed. 40 years of them being able to get used to these stories of these giants and to that fear to be even more reinforced. They had no army. They had very little resources. But Joshua had been told by the Lord that they were to walk around the city, or walk around these walls once every day for 6 days. And then on day seven, they were to walk around the walls seven times, blowing their horns and shouting. And the miracle happened. It was a ridiculous command, but the walls fell down. It was a real act of God showing, first of all, the people in Jericho that God was God, but also the children of Israel weren't able to attribute anything of this to themselves. It was an act of God, and they were having to believe and trust in God. We read these words in it. One commentator puts it, throughout Scripture, we see how God delights in slaying the pride of men. He judged the pride of the city of Jericho by making the collapse of their city in the most foolish way possible. He took the wind out of the sails of the people of Israel, who thought they might be strong enough to defeat Jericho. He said, "You walk around the wall, and I'll knock it over myself." And they believed God. They acted with courage and obeyed God. And the walls came literally falling down. Next, there's Rahab, verse 31. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, Rahab is a lady who has very little going for her. She's a Gentile. That rules her out of much in those days. She's a Canaanite. That rules her out of more. She's an Amorite, and she's a prostitute. They weren't a popular group of people, and they weren't a very nice group of people that Rahab belonged to. History tells us that when they built buildings, they put little live babies in jars and built them into the walls. There was a seductive, dark, evil tinge to these people of which Rahab was part. But Rahab was different. And she encounters these men of God, and she chooses to hide them, and she chooses to believe in their God. It took real faith for Rahab to do that, courageous faith. And she took the two spies into her own home. She put her own life and the lives of her family at risk in doing that. She recognized that these spies were men of God, and she trusted in their God and gave her life and her trust and herself to their God. And she was saved and she was rescued. But it took courageous faith. And then there's Gideon, comes next in this long hall of fame. And if you recall, Gideon was told by God to destroy the Midianite army. It was an army of 135,000. Gideon had an army of 32,000. So it was 1-5. The odds were stacked against him. He'd have thought he might have wanted to increase his army first, but God told him to reduce his army. In fact, to reduce his army right down to 300 men, so that it became about 1-500. You may remember the story. God gives Gideon the victory. And the key again was Gideon's faith. Gideon did the ridiculous thing of reducing his army down to 300 men. He did the ridiculous thing, the apparent ridiculous thing, but he obeyed God. And by obeying God, he displayed courageous faith. And then the writer of Hebrew, like myself this morning, seems to be running out of time and goes, "And what more shall I say, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Barak, he believed the prophetess Deborah, who brought him a word from God, and as a result, he again had victory. Courageous faith led to him having victory against all the odds. Samson had an incredible amount of physical strength. He's not perfect, and Delilah tricks him in a moment of weakness. He ends up as a slave. He ends up with his eyes gouged out. But despite this, he ends his days as a man of courageous faith, because he literally does the thing that God required him to do. And his victory, Samson's victory, wasn't in his own great strength, but it was because of his great faith in a great God. Jephthah, again, against all the odds, we're told in the book of Judges, crossed over to the Amorites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them, we're told, into his hand. Every time, it's the Lord that gives the victory. And he gives the victory in response to courageous faith. David and Goliath, will remember the story from our Sunday school days. But the key here again was that in the face of this incredible giant and in the face of this army, David is victorious. Why? Because he has courageous faith and does the ridiculous thing that God asked him to do. Then there's Samuel. He doesn't lead an army, but he needs faith in order to speak out God's truth into a culture and into a world that didn't want to hear the truth. Samuel speaks it out clearly and boldly. And again, he does so because of courageous faith. We're told that as a result of courageous faith, incredible things happen. The dead were raised to life. Here, the writer of Hebrews is probably referring to Elijah raising the dead son of the widow of Zarephath, or Elisha raising the dead son of the Shunammite woman. But incredible things happened, even in Old Testament times, because people had gutsy faith, courageous faith. They were able to press through those challenges and those difficulties. Secondly, this will be much briefer, they had the courage to continue amidst suffering. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Even in Old Testament times, men and women were tortured physically because of their faith in God. There were those who then and now face mental torture, beatings, imprisonments, stonings, put to death by the sword, exile in poverty in wilderness places. Paul and Peter would pick up on this in the New Testament, and Paul would write in Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Or Peter said, according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's courageous faith in a strong God that enables us to continue in faith to the very end, despite challenges, despite sufferings. I've been really impacted in this last year. I've shared this last Sunday evening in meeting now three women in their 70s from North Korea, all of whom, all three of them, have buried a child that was in a concentration camp. All three of them have been in a concentration camp themselves, and when they were taken from that concentration camp to be reunited with their husbands who were also at other concentration camps, they were unable to recognize their husband or their wife because of what had been done to them in those camps. All three of them are today full of faith, full of courage, and you know something? Full of love and forgiveness for their persecutors. That's courageous faith. That's real faith that isn't kind of allowed to be knocked about by life's circumstances. And finally, in these verses, there's not just the faith that conquers. There's not just the faith that is able to cope with suffering. But there's the faith whose reward is eternal salvation. And all these we read, verse 39 and 40. Though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. These men and women of the Old Testament didn't have the advantage of what we're going to have now in the days of Christmas, of looking back at how Jesus did come as the Messiah, how Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, of how he has gone to the cross and paid the price for our forgiveness. They all lived in anticipation that this would happen, and yet they believed. They believed God, they trusted in the promises of God, and they trusted in God with courageous faith. I think the New Testament character that captures this for me is Simeon, the old man in the temple, who all his life waited for the Christ to be born. Here's a story. I'll just finish by reading it briefly to you. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Let's ask God to so put his Spirit in us that we would be men and women of real, genuine, deep, deep faith. Faith that overcomes in the midst of the whatever. Faith that continues despite suffering. Faith that has its eyes and its heart and its focus fixed on our future salvation and glory with Christ and with all who die in Christ forever. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, increase our faith. increase our faith and fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.